Are cruising through with a growing, and I had to restart our plants, as I mentioned. We'll see how they do. Maybe we'll keep it going for all year until one of them passes away. We're growing as followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God. Often we're following other things, aren't we? We're following Jesus and something else, rather than really just following Jesus, setting aside everything else. Everything else is a distant second, but somehow it has a way of creeping it up. Well, the masters of idolatry, right? Putting other things in Jesus' rightful place, right? I need this piece of my life to work out. I need this answer, or I'm not okay. My family has to be doing this well, or I'm not. And it's not Jesus alone. And it's during hard times where we really get honed down and we find out, wow, Jesus is enough. But most often we have to be pushed there. But a mature believer can grow in that direction in every season of life. And so my question is, are we growing? Are we maturing? Are we doing things that lead us to God? I mean, this is a growth from God. We want to produce it ourselves, don't we? But God is something that growth is something that God produces. And yes, there's some things we can do. Obviously, if we've climbed out of the soil of His Word, the Bible, we'll be disconnected. We'll go through the other ones in a minute. But this is, I want to start with going to a piece on sharing here. This will be sharing part one. Growth that is transformational. Growth that brings about a difference both in us and around us. And so this is be sharing part one. If we remember the hand, yeah, we need the soil of His Word. Herb was giving a good illustration. Connected to the lifeline, connected to the Spirit through prayer and obeying. Not an easy one, but obey. If He really has good plans for us, if we're growing in that relationship, then to not obey is an oxymoron. We must obey. We follow where He leads. And to fellowship with one another. And to share, to push out and have transformation happen both in us and through us as we push out into the world. And there's going to be a three parts here. We're only going through 10 verses in all three parts. It's Galatians chapter 6. If you want to look it up, some of it will come on the screen. We're called to be burden bearers in this first part, verses 1 to 5. And to push out and share with one another both our burdens and carry each other's burdens. But there's some key principles in here that can lead us towards the true transformation and growth that we desire. Brothers and sisters, Paul obviously writing to the culture of his day just writes it to brothers. Brothers were supposed to pass it on to the rest of their families. So he just addresses it brothers, but it's not trying to be exclusive. You can easily add sisters in there. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch over yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That fulfills the law of Christ, right? Don't we? Well, I don't know if we do. Hopefully we long to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And doing this, bearing one another's burdens, fulfills the law of Christ. It leads to that, well done, good and faithful servant. For if anyone thinks he is something, he is nothing. He deceives himself. It starts off with, well, it doesn't start off with, but those who are spiritual should restore them. Are we spiritual people? before we engage someone, right? It's easy to notice something broken in someone else's life or someone caught in a transgression that is a transgression or a sin, right? We're going this way of God. Sometimes we can see it in other people's lives way easier than we can see it in our own. When someone's turned and gone their own way, we can see that. But those, you who are spiritual, should restore him. That is, those who have been made alive in Christ, who have come to Jesus and said, I need a Savior, I need your forgiveness, I'm not trusting in myself, I've turned, I've become a Christian. You be my Savior and Lord, and I will follow you. That is made alive in Jesus. But there's a second piece to this. Those who are currently living surrendered to Christ as well, right? Even a Christian can be distracted, can have other things, right? Jesus was teaching on this when he said, hey, before you point out the speck in someone else's eye, the thing that's hindering them from seeing, deal with the log in your own. He's teaching the same principle here. Watch out, you who are spiritual. But he says there's no reason to not go and approach them. He just makes sure you're doing it in Christ and fully surrendered to him. And a spirit of gentleness, it says. Share what you have received from Christ. Not a spirit of harshness or an attitude to be right, but it's sharing. And it might even be sharing part of your journey. Coming alongside is this spirit of gentleness. Hey, we're seeking to move together. And out of concern for someone, a deep love for them, that we engage in this process. And it's what's already been given to us. We don't have a source of pride here as we get involved, but it's something that's been given us to us. I mean, the clubs groups are going through the Beatitudes. These are things God produces in us. The fruits of the Spirit are exactly that. Fruits the Spirit has produced. Growth is from God. So anything that we see, that's God giving us the ability to see that. So we engage at that level, a humble, gentle spirit as we approach them. And restoration, right? Restore, it says, restore them. Restore them to the rightful place. That is, remind them you're a child of God. Right? It's not just pointing out the negative, it's reminding them of who their true identity is and restoring them. That's the goal. I think of, the MCC thrift store years ago, our BTI offices up in Calgary were just down the street from the Habitat for Humanity Restore. That's where they're doing a major renovation or whatever, and they'll call up the Restore and they'll come and take your old cupboards out of your kitchen, cabinets, lighting, all sorts of stuff, so it can be reused. And when we were renovating our little kitchen in our 600 square foot house up in Linden and working at VTI, I'd run down there almost every day, at least a couple times a week, with an idea of what configuration of cupboards would work in our kitchen renovation. Because before I started, I wanted everything in place. And I'd run in there and I'd measure these and then I'd go figure, can these work? And I found a great set and restored them, right? We could have just burnt those cabinets. But they're cabinets. How can they be used as cabinets? And it's reminding people, here's who you are. Here's what you're made for. Calling them to hire. It's not just chastising and pushing away. It's coming alongside. Let's walk together again. But then there's a caution here he follows this up with. End of verse 1. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Tempted in several different ways. Tempted by their sin? Yes. That we might be enticed and dragged in. Tempted by their sinfulness to judge? Yes. Tempted by other people's opinions and those around to condemn? Yes. Even tempted by a desire to be right or smart. Yes. Be careful. Be careful that we don't get caught up into that sin or another sin that drags us down, robs us of the life of growth that God has made possible in our own lives. But still do engage one another deeply and wisely and restore. Be willing to restore. And it moves on to carry your burdens. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Love God, love others, and we live that out in relationship. The sharing. That's why I said we didn't really cover much of fellowship, but they're all really tied together. But the word for burden here is baros. It literally means to carry a heavy weight or a stone that someone is required to carry for a long distance. There's a sense to this word of it's an oppressive ordeal. It's a hardship. It's really, really difficult to bear, and it's over a long distance. Right? We can carry something. I remember living in Manitoba trying to save money, and Beverly was working, I don't know, full-time at the time. She's away, and I'm at home working part-time, and I could walk over to where I worked and working at my master's level stuff, so I'm working in the study. But I'd run down and I'd pick up 10 loaves of bread because it was cheaper. But the bakery was on the other end of the little town we lived in. Well, you think 10 loaves is not that heavy. But if you carried it upright, the top loaves would crush the bottom loaves. So I'd carry it on the flat like this, and it's still not that heavy. But after 11 blocks or so, oh my goodness, is 10 loaves ever heavy? You can hardly, it's a good thing I had been in construction before that. But it's hard to do, and your arms are sagging down, hard to hold it out like that. That's kind of this sense of the word. Sure, we're amazing, we can carry it for a while. But it's a burden. See, this word, it expands it here. The first part is anyone caught in transgression. And burdens expands this to anything heavy or ill-fitting that somebody needs to carry over time. Come along, bear one another's burdens. And there's several truths that we need to understand about these. One, the reality of burdens. Everyone has them. All Christians have burdens. They differ in size and shape, and they vary depending on all sorts of things. Some of them are physical, some of them are mental, emotional, lack of employment, some are demonic. All sorts of different burdens, but we all have them. And so often, right, in the Christian world, church, hey, how you doing? Okay. Really? Are you really okay? Are you carrying anything that is big? Maybe we should make that our common greeting as brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you currently carrying anything that is weighing you down? What a great greeting for believers. And we're supposed to be countercultural. Well, that doesn't sound like what they say outside. Wouldn't that be weird? Yeah, maybe it's okay if we're thought of as weird sometimes. What if we actually got to carry one another's burdens? Support one another. Really support one another. I mean, the prosperity gospels speak of an easy believism or a quick fix recovery. But they belong more to the spirit of the age than they do to the spirit of Christ. Where's the spirit of Christ in our church? Do we bear one another's burdens? This also blows up the myth of self-sufficiency. We all have burdens, and God does not intend us to carry them by ourselves in isolation from our brothers and sisters. But how often do we excuse ourselves? Well, I'm not sharing this, or, you know, I don't know if people can be trusted. I was hurt once. We dismiss it. We push it aside. This leads into if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. This is part of the deception. An attitude of conceited self-importance. I can handle this. Even though I'm not created for it and it's not God's best for me, I can handle it anyways. Really? That is our attitude, right? It's, okay, I got this one, God. I'll carry it because it's too risky. It's too something, too menial, too whatever, and I won't share it. And it's a self-conceit. Or we can slip into our own little world, just self-sufficient and just selfish more so. And this is what I want. And I'm not willing to walk with someone else. Well, I don't have answers. I don't have this. And we're excusing the work of the Spirit in our own lives. So we don't really want to come alongside and carry another's burdens either. Right? Isn't it awkward to be in the presence of someone when you can't solve the crisis, the situation that they're in? All you can do is be present. That's all God's calling us to do. Be present. Be obedient in the situation. Be with somebody and bear their burden along with them. So it speaks of a reality of burdens. We all have them. And that they are to be shared. And there's a mutual sharing here. Right? Most of us are given to one favorite or the other. Okay, I'll care for people. I'll help them. Usually we outline in these parameters, right? It's our safe zone of caring for people. Or we're over here and we're the victims all the time. We're always the one who needs help. Even in our weakness, God is strong. And it's a mutual sharing. There's a mutualness to this. There's none who are sufficient to themselves to bear their burdens alone. And God has made the body of Christ and its members to be priesthood of all believers to one another, to remind one another, here's your true identity. Here's what God's doing in your life. And to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And Paul challenged the First Corinthian church, which was a very broken, fractured church, and he speaks of the body in 1 Corinthians 12. And he challenges them. He says, this still needs to play out. Walk with one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. That's the way it's intended to be, not suffering privately or however else it is. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We got to find ways to live this out. Even the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. But God who comforts, he writes, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, he writes in 2 Corinthians 7:5. John Stott comments on this text. Listen to what John Stott writes on just that verse. God's comfort was not given to Paul through his private prayer and waiting upon the Lord, but through the companionship of a friend, through the good news which he brought. Human friendship, in which we bear one another's burdens, is part of the purpose of God for his people. And so we should not keep our burdens to ourselves, but rather seek a Christian friend who will help us bear them with us. It's a risk. It really is. But we're called to carry one another's burdens. Let me take this up a notch. What if this isn't just supposed to happen in individual relationships, but what if, like Jesus says, we are the light to the world and the salt to the nations? What if he's calling us, Lynn Coldale MB, Beverly was just up in Linden yesterday, Coldale MB, to see transformation happen in our community? How is God wanting to work more broadly? What burdens can we bear in our community? What are the real needs going on around us? The author Wesley Furlong wrote the book Smart Compassion. At some point we'll unpack this more fully. But for now I want to tell you one story. He had a vision of a community. If we go on to the next slide there, where there was a shooting some gang activity going on. We can't really identify with that in Coaldale. Maybe we will one day. But these shootings go on in our world all the time. And so this Christian family in that community had no answers. How do we solve this or whatever else? They didn't even go into solve mode. But they grabbed their upright piano and dragged it out into the street. Played right in the street. Now, imagine the community. There's a picture on the next slide of houses. What kind of community is this? Next one has a bunch of mobile homes. Next one has low-income housing. Actually, it's a picture from Toronto and very much reminds me of where we used to do some street ministry when we were in college, Beverly and I, where we just offered what we had. But they took this piano out into the street and they started to worship God right where this murder had taken place. They just worship God and worship Him long enough until someone else joins them. And they focus on God, that God is way bigger than our current circumstances. And how do we bring God into our community? What are the needs around us? I often walk around town because I see things differently. I notice when a house is empty or for sale, or when there's a whole string of residences that are now empty for whatever reason. I notice the different schools and some of the dynamic that goes on around the schools. What are the real needs, the burdens that people are bearing, and how is He calling us to be the body of Christ, that we would see transformation, real transformation? Paul goes on in these verses, as you keep that question in mind. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Now it sounds like Paul's contradicting himself just in the matter of verses here. He says, bear each other's burdens, and then he says, but each one should carry his own load. I got to admit, I was pretty confused by that. I'm going, I don't really know what he's doing here. But this first part, verse 4, is test our own actions. And it's a testing like the fire that gold goes through to determine its purity. Right? Scripture says of this, all our actions will be tested, but we're to test them ourselves. Are we actually followers of Jesus seeking to glorify God? Or we just want a safe life? Do we want people to think I'm a pretty nice guy? I mean, our motives can get so mixed up. Beverly and I just got back from Abbotsford, and during one of the sessions, hearing some great preaching, worshiping God, all sorts of incredible conversations on discipleship, God pointed out something shifted in my own life. I think I've even taken some pride in this in the past, but generally when I preach, as long as I've done what God asked me to, then it doesn't matter what anybody's response is. But sitting there, I realized I've started to shift. I really do want people to think I'm a good preacher, not just was I obedient before my God. And so I went forward for prayer. Good brother comes along, prays for me in that. We prayed about a few other things. This mutual burden bearing went on right there, and it was awesome. I want the freedom to just do what God calls me to do and not have it matter so much. I don't want people to go away thinking I'm a great preacher. I want them to go away knowing that I've got a great God. I really do. But I'm not always there. And I need alignment. And our motives can get mixed up. And Paul's saying to the Galatian believers here, test your own work. What are your real motives? And what are you involved in? Just serving yourself? Because in a few years, you're going to look back and go, man, what did I accomplish with my life? And he says, not only test it for yourself, but verse 5, for each will have to bear his own load. There's little pieces of apocalyptic literature throughout Galatians here. bounce through. It's not a major theme in the book of Galatians, but a future testing will happen as well. That's when Jesus is going to, it'll be our works. We'll be tested with a fire. Whatever's been on the foundation of Jesus, we will be rewarded for. But whatever's on some other foundation will burn up like wood, hay, and stubble and be shown for what it is. So there'll be a future testing of our works as well. Do we really desire that God would do a transforming work in us, through us, and broader than that, to our community? Is that our desire? That's God's heartbeat. He wants to change lives and families. And a piece of that, fulfilling the work of Christ, is bearing one another's burdens. We practice with one another. Be open and honest about who we are and what's going on and where we're at. And allow God to do a work, to bring real growth and transformation. Called to be burden bearers. Be the church of Jesus Christ. They'll know you are Christians by your love. Not by your right answers. Not by your condemning attitude. By our love. Our ability to come alongside and bear with one another. And what we practice with each other, we do with others as well. We share and bear. It's mutual. Live it out. This is what we're called to. Learn and grow in this process, right? Isn't it fearful when we confront someone else? Hey, I see this in your life. Are you okay? But we go in humbly, knowing that our perspective isn't 100% accurate, is it? We go in as learners, and we can hear their perspective. We help carry burdens of all sorts. It's called to radically live different than the culture is. And have this community mindset. See, it's first few verses I've titled or subtitled Burden Bearers. Next we'll have Generous Sharers next week, and then Intentional Carers. And God, or Paul is building this, God through Paul. And I'm wondering if there's some stories of someone coming alongside you, or when you've come alongside someone, that we could slot in during the offertory time and just bear witness and give praise to God. God, we're followers of Jesus, and in our weakness we step out and help, or someone stepped out and helped us. Is there some stories that maybe we can celebrate together of taking that risk and watching God work? Then would you contact me this week and let's build that into the service. But God is calling us to something really different. Would you join me in prayer, because we can't step into it on our own. Lord Jesus, again, we need you. Not again, constantly. Constantly, we need you. And Father, it seems like sin is having its way, at least in North America. There's other parts of the world where sin is rampant, and yet your church is growing. Seems like your church is shrinking here. We're pulling back in fear. God, give us a spirit of faith that we would step out, recognize again how big, how awesome, amazing you are. Give us eyes to see what you're already doing in us, around us, and through us. And how we can partner more intentionally, God. Help us push through the barriers of what holds us back from really relating to one another. From calling each other up and saying, hey, can we talk? I got something I really want to share with you. How can we move forward together, better aligned with who you've called us to be and what you've called us to do, God? And Father, maybe there's only one pair of ears really hearing your spirit here this morning. I don't know. Maybe it's a 7-year-old or a 17-year-old or a 77-year-old or I don't know. But that one person could have huge impact for your glory and for the good of your kingdom if they will just surrender to you and follow and be a burden bearer. And so fulfill the law of Christ. But I pray it wouldn't be just one purpose, God. I pray we would draw together. You turn the world on its head with 11 men starting this off. Really, 3 that you intimately discipled. What could you do through the number here, God? Help us turn to you for your glory and for your sake. Amen.